بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. These are articles as a reply to people's queries. So sometimes this to be understood, it's a solution for an individual. So then it can't be generalized. And sometimes it is a general law. You have to say these things because people don't differentiate. One person brought an article of the Mawthami Sabrahmanya some years ago, maybe some 10, 12 years ago, where Mulana was disapproving of the jalsas that we have. So I looked at the article, then I explained. How are you going to reconcile when Mawlana himself used to go to some jalsas? Number two, the closest murids living very close to Thanabon were having jalsas up to the time I was there. Jalabad used to be jalsa Bukhari Khatam. That means that was when I passed away in 42, and I was there about 30 years later, and they were having khatams. So what will you say? That this was specific to that person. It wasn't a thing to be generalized. Now this type of understanding one need to have. We are in Miaswam, so one person is condemning the jalsas. And he quoted Hazrat Mawsub bin Nuri Sahib Rahmatullahi that it is just for collection or for show. Mawsub bin Nuri Sahib said this to Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi. So now, we don't know exactly what was the circumstance. Did he mention it as a general law, or he says that this is what's happening in many parts of the world? So we don't know the whole circumstance. We have to say it because all these madrasas, they have jalsas. The Mawsub Sahib's madrasa also has it. So how do you answer that? So that means they disregarded Hazrat Mawsub bin Nuri Sahib Rahmatullahi's advice. So we can't say that. They knew, all right, this is what one was referring to, and it's not supposed to be generalized. But then, some people have a very brazen approach. A brazen approach is good, but in its place. Out of its place, then it may create confusion, you see. In the town, there was a miyaji. So in the villages in those days, there was a miyaji. So miyaji is a teacher. He'll teach some of the basic things like maths, language, basic thing, maybe some basics in Arabic also, alphabets or the seal series one. So the basic stuff he'll teach. It's a village, and the village is illiterate. So if any letters do come in, then they will take it to the miyaji. Miyaji must read it and tell us what's going on. So the miyaji received one letter and he started crying. So now, obviously, the person who received the letter, his family is there, two, three brothers, and they're asking him, what happened, someone died, what? So no, you must cry, he also must cry. So they start crying. When they start crying now, It became an emotional thing, an outburst. So the neighbors came in. The neighbors came in. They asked him, what happened? Who died? You also must cry. So they start crying. So he's crying. The family began to cry. Then the neighborhood began to cry. Then the townspeople began to cry. But akhir batao, baat kya hai? What's the whole thing? What's going on? So eventually, the Miyaji collected himself, saying, see, what he's writing here is, here in this village he was earning 10 rupees. Now he's earning 1 million rupees. You know, what a disparity from 10 to 1 million. So this is a pagal kahi ka, ek ghami ka mauka hai. Is this a time to grieve or celebrate? So you didn't understand. You haven't understood, see. See now, he's earning so much, right? So you think he'll be happy with a simple Indian girl here. Now he'll have to have a European, Russian girl. Because this 10 rupee thing there, there's a cheap line. I must have something important. So that is why the family must cry. See, she'll just not be, she'll be knocked out and she'll be replaced. But then the neighborhood, why must they cry? See, when he has so much of money, then he'll have the municipality, everybody under control. And then, when he has that municipality under control, then he'll buy the neighboring house, 30, 40 houses. And he'll put up a big mansion. You know, mansion, so many stores, swimming pool, all that. So all your houses will go away. You must cry also. But then why are you crying? See, he's crying, family must cry, and the whole town must cry. I'm crying because now you think he'll have a simple Miyaji like myself to teach his children. I have to have an important teacher to teach his children. So I'll lose out, the family will lose out, the whole neighborhood. So you see, this is an example of wada fi ghairi mahalli, but misplaced. So ilm has to be placed correctly. So that is why the hadith shows an excellence for the person who's got understanding of deen. Majuridillahu bi khairan yufaqihu fi deen. Imagine this gold here, but the person doesn't know how to place it, how to value it. Can it be really valuable to him? Doesn't know. So that person who's got understanding, he knows, alright, this must be placed here, this must be placed there, and that must be placed like that, see. See, to understand the Quran Sharif, you have to know hadith, otherwise you can't understand the Quran Sharif. All the Quran Sharif says, Aqeemus Salah. But does the Quran Sharif say that these factors invalidate the Salah? Does the Quran Sharif say that you must raise your hands at the time of Takbir? Does it say that you must first start off with Sana, then Ta'awuz and Tasmiyah, and followed by Surah Fatiha? So now, if you just want to take the verse Aqeemus Salah, you won't know how to do the namaz. So, to understand the Quran, you must have the hadith. The Quran Sharif says, give out zakat. But does it say what is the threshold for zakat? And what is the amount that is supposed to begin for zakat? No. So you are dependent on the hadith to understand the Quran Sharif. Then to understand the hadith, you must have fiqh, must have fiqh understanding. With just having some understanding of the hadith is not sufficient for you to understand the hadith. You need to have some deep understanding, right, for you to be able to understand the hadith, right? Now, it's become customary to perform namaz without a topi, right? So, the hadith that they will use for this comes in Bukhari Sharif, comes in Abu Dawud, أَوَلِكُلِّكُمْ ثَوْبَانِ, right? Do everybody have two pieces of cloth? So they read namaz in one piece. Just one piece. So that means from the knee upwards all have to be covered. Right? So it's from the knee till here. Can they cover the head? So there were those Sahaba-i-Kiram who just possessed one piece of cloth. Right? And in spite of having just one piece of cloth, they were performing namaz. The famous hadith where they didn't have enough clothes and they were seated in a circle and reciting the Quran Sharif, Nabi Sam sat in their midst. And they were trying to hide themselves from one another because the upper part of the body was uncovered. So for this class of people, it was said, أَوَلِكُلِّكُمْ ثَوْبَانِ. Does everybody possess two pieces of cloth? So now, those that didn't understand the context, they said there's no need to wear a topi. But those that understood the context, they understood in the context that Nabi Sam had explained this, and they understood that it was a misconstrual of the hadith. Now, this is just one or two examples, right? If someone really looks at the hadith, then you find too many nazirs, similarities, similes. One person is asking, can I kiss my wife whilst I'm fasting? So, permissible for you. Now the next person comes and asks, is permissible or not permissible? Now, who's going to find out the dividing rule here? That here it's permissible and here it's not permissible. Who's going to? So that person who's dedicated himself to the study, dedicated himself. When he's dedicated himself, he'll see now what was the circumstance here. What was the circumstance? So the circumstance in which Nabi Sam told him, that's right, told him, right. So the first person was, in my words, 90 years. Right? So the person is 90 years, you or kya kar sakta hai? Can you do anything else? This will stop there. And beyond that, you can't go. Can't go after that. Class. Right? So there is no fear for that person going any forward. Because he's done all the research, everything, so all this is passed with that. If he's passed the research, then he doesn't go re-research it, reinvent the world, page everything. And the second person that asked, in my words, was about 19 years of age. If he's going to kiss them, will he stop there? Let me just go see more, explore. Then, after the exploration, will be an explosion. Right? That requires some understanding. What's the circumstance? How it was said? Where was it said? So there you find a lot of examples. But it's just that you have to put your mind, one person asked, Ibn Abbas, about a murder, is there any forgiveness? So Ibn Abbas says, مَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَدِبَ اللَّهِ. No forgiveness. Killed a Muslim, you murdered him, so there's no forgiveness for the person. Again, there's another quotation of Ibn Abbas from Mujahid, etc. And there, he says, no, there is forgiveness for him. But how do you reconcile the both? Now, you need that person who has dedicated himself. Now, when he's nervous, and now and then you're just opening the Hadith Kitab, checking this, and then you want to make up your own opinion. I say, is that fair to the science of hadith? Not fair to the world. Understand the thing, read, learn it under some supervision. Then you won't have any objections. The objections come because you didn't do a guided study. Just do it yourself. Person is working with a cardiologist. So, no, I worked with him for so many years, so I know how to just rip the thing, pull the thing out, just replace the valve, push it back. So if he takes a travel habit, he can't do it. Can't. It's a specialized thing, right? So you need that type of exposure, experience, then you can do it. Strangely, in medicine, etc., we apply that law. But in deen, you know, there's no monopoly in deen, everybody can do it. So it's unfair. It's not fair to the science of hadith. So now the first person, there's no forgiveness for him, right? He was contemplating murder. So when he's contemplating murder, Ibn Abbas couldn't tell him the hadith that the man committed 100 murders and Allah smiled for him when he made Tawbah. He's contemplating and he's quoted this hadith, then what happened? With the license, go, don't worry, Allah will forgive you. See? And you say, La yaghfiru an yushraka bi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhanika li man yasha. Besides shirk, Allah will forgive you. So can he quote this on this occasion? Can he say that? See? That is why I say, these type of masail can't be discussed over the radio as well. Because sometimes the person on the radio, he doesn't know the person is questioning. And he's giving a general answer. Can he create a problem afterwards? Sometimes it happens on the radio, the reality I'm talking about. So, it's a domestic problem. Man got two wives, right? So she made up a story, like this, like that, like that, like that. And now the person is answering and he's giving it. He's getting married and doing. Now the children will come and tell you, but it's not the story. But she is not able to tolerate the second one. When she can't tolerate the second one, she had to fake up a story. But in the process, our whole family got disgraced. See that? See what happens. So there are some things that you can ask. It's straightforward. Right? How many rakats in Taraweeh? 20 rakats kalas. This type of questions is not a problem, right? Qurbani, who is it wajib upon? The one who has the threshold of zakat on the days of Qurbani. Finish kalas. So it's a general answer you can ask everybody. But there are some things that are specific, they have to be answered and dealt with differently. So it's a fault on the radio and a fault on the listeners as well. People are going to see, what's a new one now, what's a new one? So they're satisfying their curiosity, not increasing the knowledge. And then they create more problems after this. Even one said this, she said this. So anyway, now the second person, Ibn Abbas says, there's mafi for your forgiveness. So that person has already committed the murder. And when he committed the murder, now he's in a state of panic now. Okay, am I out of Islam? Is the place for me in Jannah? What's going to happen to me? He's reached the point of despondency. So he had to give him the answer in a different way, and Allah will forgive you. See that? Different. This person is different, that person is different. So you have to understand the person and then give the answer. Can't just generalize. So, we are talking of misplace, right? A displace and a misplace. Both are important, context, and sometimes it's general. So both are important. But now, the person that is in authority must understand. Rasulullah has received a complaint. The Banu al-Mustalak, they have pledged their allegiance and they had already come into Islam. And they asked that Nabi Sama send his man to go and receive the zakat at an appointed date, time, place, everything. So one person is sent, and en route he takes a U-turn, comes back. So he understands that he had a settle to score with them, so they all have ganged up here to kill me. He's seen them from a distance, 3-4 miles. You can see them all, right? And he says that these people are planning to attack us. So Rabi Sam was naturally disturbed. He sends Khalid with a battalion. Says, Khalid, don't do open fire at all until you go and investigate what's going on. Don't do anything. See that? In ja'akum fasikum binaba'in fatabayyanu. Investigate, find out, see what's going on. It's not just about jumping to conclusions and then having remorse and regrets later on. See, find out first. Kya hua? What was the real situation? What was it like? So Khalid goes, en route he meets the leader of Banu Mustalak. See, wallah, we got no intentions. We were celebrating that Eve, that this will be the first day in the history of Banu Mustalak that we have got the opportunity to discharge a faraz of Allah Ta'ala. So we came with all our stocks, came at this point here to celebrate that occasion. So happy we were. Now see what could have happened. If there was no investigation properly, then innocent lives would have been taken. He just went and opened fire, khalas. It's nice to spray the AK-47, right? It's easy. But after that, so these sciences are such that you can't take it casually and lightly. Someone goes into it properly. Don't have a brazen attitude. Just say what comes in your mind. Dekho, socho, samjho. What has happened? Why it happened? Why it didn't happen in another way? Why happened like this? So that requires a detailed research. If you didn't make a detailed research and you're saying something, then see, Ali radiallahu anhu was sent to Yemen just before the Hajjatul Wida, right? Just before the Hajjatul Wida, he was sent to Yemen. So he comes in. Now he meets Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Makkah Mukarrama. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in Ihram. Because he was Qarin, right? Because he was Qarin, so therefore he was in Ihram. So he meets up with his family, Hazrat Fatima Radhiyallahu Anha, and now she was using perfume, decorated the place, right? She will receive a husband, obviously. So he got irritated. You're supposed to be in Ihram. What's this going on? So he said, Hakala Amarani Abi, Nabi Samir command me. So now, he went to see now. So he's doing an investigation. See, if he just fired the bullets now, why could he do such a thing? Right? Then he would have been wrong. So he went and found out. So the reason was she's done the right thing, and then the whole masla was explained to her in detail, explained to him in detail. Because for that year that Nabi Sam had gone, right, it was an exceptional Hajj, right? People came in with a niyat of ifrad. So that ifrad, that person has to put on the ihram right to the 10th of Zilhijjah. On the 10th of Zilhijjah, he will do the rami, shave off his hair, and then come out. Because he's ifrad, so So he doesn't have to do Dhamme Tamattu. Dhamme Shukar he doesn't have to do. Right? But for that year, the beast of Sarasvati had fooled that as you've come to Makkah Mukarrama, now you all of you all that have done Ifrad, right? So you do your Umrah and come out of your Ihram. What? Do the Umrah and come out of the Ihram. So that was only for that particular year, that you come out from your Ihram, do the Umrah and come out. And the reason why we did that, because there was an ancient pagan custom. The custom was, they used to say, إِذَا أَفَرْ وَبَرُ, right? وَبَرَ الدَّبَرُ وَدَخَلَ السَّفَرُ فَقَدْ حَلَّ الْأُمْرَةُ لِمَعْتَمَرُ, right? See? So I was shouting about Mawlana this morning. From the time of complete till now, look at your kitabs. Just look at the kitabs. So you have to correct an ancient pagan custom. The ancient pagan custom was, it is haram to do Umrah in the days of Hajj. Right? And they would say, إِذَا أَفَلْ وَبَرُ, right? That means, see, يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ يَأْتُوكَ عَلَى كُلِّ دَامِرِ. They come on a lean animal, lean. So, can you understand now? For days they may have been traveling. Someone coming from months. So what will be the state of the animal? It will be lean, right? And what will be the state of the hair? Hair also will be, it will drop its hair. Why? Because of the rugged terrain, constant riding, so the hair will be off, right? But now, إِذَا أَفَلْ وَبَرْ, the Hajj is over now, and you're back home. وَدَخَلَ السَّفَرْ, came Safar, right? So now, it was enough time for the animal to grow its coat again. It's enough time, right? Now, Zulhijjah and the Hajj is over, then Muharram passed, then Zulhijjah, so it's over a month that's passed. So now, it's not being used, it's not under a journey, so it's going to be fat, and it will grow its hair. إِذَا أَفَلْ وَبَرُ, right? وَدَخَلَ السَّفَرُ, and Safar has come in. Now Umrah is halal. See, but before that halal, Umrah wasn't halal. So to abolish the system, Nabi Sam asked them, do it, you see. So when you do it practically, then it has a greater bearing. See, one is, Nabi Sam would have passed that law, so it didn't suffice, made them do it. So they know it now that for the end of time, to make Umrah with Hajj, is permissible, is not haram. But it was just one statement then, and maybe it wouldn't have been so firmly established in the people's mind. So he made them do it practically. So you go look at the hadith now, there's so many things like that. So that's why I say, but this is not a simple thing. Just look at one hadith here, that hadith aside, and say, no, let's check the hadith. See, I don't know it. I didn't understand fully. I don't want to comment on this. Right. So we're coming back to the Miyagi story. Right. So it's a very important subject. It's about doubts, right? So let me show you the prelude. Then we'll come to the specifics. See the prelude, then you get a holistic picture. So the verse was revealed, وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله. You conceal what's in your mind or reveal it, Allah Ta'ala will call you to account. Now that's the translation. Conceal or reveal what's in your mind, then Allah Ta'ala will call you to account, right? So this verse brought a lot of worry and pain to the Sahaba Kiram. Then who of us can be free? Because there are a lot of thoughts that just run through the mind. A lot of thoughts or things that go through the mind. We read Tarawih Namaz, right? And then suddenly, an old girlfriend, she passes the mind. I say, can it happen? One baby was in the class in grade 8, and she just rocks up there. I say, can it happen? So, will this be called fantasizing? You know, it's all fine. But this verse is saying, if you conceal it, or you reveal it. Now, I have to give examples that will appeal to you. Because all go to the Western secular system, right? So, and you know what happens, right? You can't say that thing is deleterable, but you can't say that. But it put a lot of consternation, worry in the Sahaba Kiram. Hamara kya hoga? Because these type of thoughts just, they cross the mind, they come into the mind, disturb the whole thing. Then, Sanjay Bhai, so they brought it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Ye Ho Raha Hai. So, Rasulullah Baksam was the most perfect person, comprehensive, perfect. Right? He understood like nobody else could understand. Understood the command. And he understood procedures, understood protocols, everything understood. So, when the Sahaba Kiram expressed their concerns, and Nabi Sallam said to them, what you need to do is say, Sami'na wa ata'na ufranaka. Sami'na wa ata'na ufranaka Rabbana. If we hear, we obey, and we ask for forgiveness. See, we hear, obey, and ask for forgiveness. Why? Because لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything belongs to Him. When everything is His, then He can maneuver it how He wants. He can manipulate it. He can maneuver it as He wants. Can you tell me? You want that brick to be here, right? And the next brick that is his sister in a toilet. Can the brick complain? Can't complain. He's prerogative. You're the owner, you're the boss, and you don't want that brick to ever challenge you. I'm the boss. You just do as I say. So the Bism is teaching them adab. See that? This now. Allah has the right to take you, to call you to account. Can you object? You are His, He made you. When He made you, have you got any grounds to complain? No grounds to complain. Why? You belong to Him. Lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Can you see that? So, what was the lesson that was taught? The lesson that was taught was the lesson of adab, what? Respect. How do you respond to a situation? What do you do? Right. You're in a mix now, what do you do? So, let me show them what must do, right? Sami'na wa ata'na ufranaka. So, they didn't defy the command. And they didn't reject the command. One is to defy, one is to reject. So, did they defy? They didn't defy. They didn't object. You say, but this can't happen. How can it happen? Did they do that? No. But that would have been a disrespectful attitude. Like the Bani Israel, right? When they are told, إن الله يأمركم أن تذبحوا بقرة. Construct one Haifa. Haifa cow, right? So, straight away now they are coming up on the objection. أَتَتَّخِذُونَا هُزُوَا. Hey, playing with us, what? How does it relate? You know, we want to know the murderer that murdered this man here. We want to know that. And you're asking to slaughter a cow. So how does it connect? You're making a joke of us, what? You see what they say? Yeah. So they came up objecting. See that attitude of objecting. And the Sahaba Kiram, they came up querying. Querying, what do we do in this? So this was an objective. See, objecting. And that's what Allah Bak says. فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُ بِيَفُلْهُمْ. It was not the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. They would have ended up slaughtering it. وَمَا كَادُ بِيَفُلْهُمْ. Because of the attitude. And here the attitude of submission and humility. Because just one statement of Nabi Sallam was sufficient. See, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا. We hear, we obey, and we plead for your forgiveness. Because we must err, right? We'll err, because these things are crossing the minds. So Allah, you do forgive us. So isn't it a complete package? So they're showing the obedience, and they're showing the limitations. They're showing the obedience, and the submission, and the limitation. So isn't it complete? سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. So that's why I say he was the most perfect person. Most comprehensive. So he shows a law that is most comprehensive. Now when Nabi Sam showed all this, then the relaxation came. See how it starts, how it comes up, right? Sahaba Kiram's response, and then the relaxation. Relaxation came. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَى. See that? Allah Ta'ala will only burden you according to your stamina. What? He only burdens you according to your capacity. This is a capacity, not beyond that. See, you are worried about those thoughts that are crossing the mind. Right? Right? That was disturbing you, right? So now, the first step of the whole procedure was to teach adab. And perhaps Nabi Sallam had to show them the procedure as well. Because all the ulama say, Ad-deenu al-adabu kulluha. What is deen? Adab. For everything, there's an adab. Now you come into the masjid, there's an adab, isn't it? You can just run into the masjid, shout, scream. Will that be in keeping with adab? Will you enjoy the ambiance of the masjid? Right. So you come in a certain way. You come again to the masjid without any foul smell. People can come here from a fish market, worked in the fish all the time, and with grease and all that, come to the masjid. Right. What happened to the masjid? So understand what deen is. Deen is all adab. Your son can call you. His friends call him, you know, by the name they call him. If Yusuf, they call him Josie. Josie, let's go for a walk. The son can say, right, will that be in keeping with adab? The whole house will be in a turmoil. If the son speaks to the father in that words, what happened? So you understand, entire deen is the bedrock, the base is what? Adab. Now you've got that adab, everything's working out. You'll see now, you know, someone is waiting in the immigration office, right? And you see some person, simple people, but they'll follow the instruction. Go on the queue, reach out, get the work done. And people like us will go say how to cut the queue, how to bribe this one here, right? Get the work done, right? But now, the person that is there, he's also watching people's behavior. What is this person's behavior like? And what is that person's behavior like? This person here, he follows the protocol. It's nice to deal with him. And this person here doesn't want to respect protocol. Right? See? So, in the whole process, Allah Pak is teaching adab, first adab. You got that adab, then the whole journey is going to be smooth and nice. So that's why ad-deenu kulluha adabu. The whole deen, the bedrock of deen is adab. In namaz again, it's all about adab, right? You can't come to the masjid just with the jammies from the stomach to the knee. Can anybody see your namaz not valid? Yeah? If one big mawlana came into the masjid with the jammies, right? And did the khutbah on a Jummah in the big masjid now, Hilal or Greece Street, big masjid. Will they allow it? We say, but no, it's jais. I've done my farz. So, when you listen to his bayan, why? Ask you, why? Why? Ji, adab is not there. The whole Jamaat will throw him out just because of the absence of adab. See that? Ad-deenu kulluha adabu. The whole deen is revolving around adab. Well, now, we just hear the statement, now we don't analyze it. We don't analyze it. Now you got married, right? And for some reason, your wife was eating garlic and onions and all these things, yeah? And now you want to be introvert. And you got all that kasbah coming. Kya hoga? Kya hoga? But see, it doesn't disrupt my beauty. My beauty is still the same. Just because of a smell. It'll abstract me like a smell. What's wrong with you? Is it odd? So you did all the adrak, garlic, which you work with the fish or the heads, and the same best heads is coming. Look at the heart, don't look at the... Because now, this is the constituent arrived, the adab. See, until you don't apply your mind, you won't understand the gravity of adab. That's what's happened today. Mona Abrar Sahib from Hardoi, you say it nicely. Since Hoshad hai, lekin zara akal ki kabhi hai. They won't use the brains. See, with AI and all that, so nobody's using brains. You look at this one here, look at that thing. But who's using the brains? Common sense. Al-Dinu Kulluha Adabu. Right. It can't work in a masjid. It can't work in a marital home. Right. It can't work in a father-child relationship. So what was the element that was missing? Adab. So that's why there'll be some step by step. See, he's teaching them, but step by step. Learn adab. So when you go to command, don't come and show a brazen attitude. Don't show an objecting attitude. Don't defy. Be humble and be submissive, and things will work out for you. Be submissive, humble, and things will work out for you. But you show that humility, show that respect, and you see how things will work out for you. So you see that verse comes now. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan. Allah Ta'ala doesn't place a burden on a person beyond what he can manage. Burden? How much you can manage? La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. You can't perform namaz standing, sitting. You can't sit on the ground, on a chair. You can't do wuzu, tayammum. Right? You can't even sit and lie down. Right? So the burden is according to your strength. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. So we're talking about this stray thoughts. That's where this whole thing, this whole discussion starts off. So there are a lot of things that are discussed here, but I say some things are quite deep and some things are straight and simple. So I just show the things that are simple. So just to encapsulate it, you know, in few words. One is, in other words, fantasizing. Would that be right? You're fantasizing about that girl, right? And now it's his daughter, or it's his wife, or his mother. If he gets to know that you're fantasizing about his wife or his daughter, would it be on? Yeah? So one is to fantasize. That's haram. Although it's a mental thing. That fantasizing is a mental thing, right? You don't have to be writing, you don't have to be speaking, but your mind is just taking some enjoyment. And Allah mafkar sometimes a namaz can happen also. And you don't realize, you think it might be a great thing of being namaz. But that fantasizing within your mind, that's haram. Did you think about that? So that was when you did it deliberately, but intentionally and deliberately. So it's a mental thing, but it's haram. See? You did it with your own volition, choice. It wasn't just a thought that passed the mind. So therefore you're not answerable. Where the thought just passed the mind, then you're not answerable. But the situation where you intended that, is that intentionally, thinking about your school days and how the Cinderella and all that, right? So you start thinking all that, but intentionally, in your namaz or out of namaz, but you put your mind into that, then that's haram, that's wrong. Because you intended doing that. But now the thought that just passed your mind, Allah will not hold you answerable for that. Although it was the worst of thought that passed your mind, can be of disbelief and shirk also, but the worst thoughts that passed your mind. So Allah is telling you, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha. Allah won't place a burden more than what you can manage. But because I have to answer this question, then I tell them, see, but Allah says, don't go to areas, don't read content, don't mix up with people that will stir up suspicions and doubt. Using that type of doubts, using that type of evolution, Darwinism, right? And you are grounded, then will it stir up doubts or not? But now this is self-imposed. See, one is like, you know, someone forced some poison into you, right? So you are sinful for that. Why? It was forced into you. The doctor gave you a wrong injection, poisonous, right? So would you be sinful? And one is, you administer the poison yourself. So for that, you'll be answerable. So the same applies to thoughts, right? One is the thought that you fantasized intentionally. And one is just passed. Right? And the third option is that you don't go in that area that will stir up your doubts. Stir up your doubts. There was a question came from Johannesburg. But what about me? I'm a science teacher. I have to teach these things here. So even a teacher would explain them in the level that they understand. So I said, see, if the subject that you're teaching tells you, you must fear your father, mother, worst type of swear words. They said, I have to swear my mother. Would you do that? Why? The reason is obvious. So, is your parents more important than Allah Ta'ala? Your aqaid is getting shaken up, right? Your belief is getting shaken up. They said, no, because it's my job now. I don't believe in these things. And I tell them I don't believe. But I do it just as a job. If your job is to swear your parents, then will you do that? Then is your parents more important than Allah Ta'ala? Yeah. So these type of things come up, and that's why I say My complaint is that log apni ghar ki akal ko istemal nahi karte. Common sense they don't use. Simple common sense. So you don't get into an area, don't discuss, don't go into an area, don't look at content that will stir up your doubts. It will create more doubts in you. Is that right? Right? Because the shaitans want that. They want to shake you of your right beliefs. وَدُّوا لُوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا. What's their desire? What's their wish? وَدُّوا لُوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا. They want you to become kafir. That's the world, the whole West, that's the modernism. What's the whole idea? That وَدُّوا لُوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا. Like they are kafirs, dispatched for Jahannam. So they want you to be kafir as well. So you can't be so cheap now. Let's see how this is the bait they're putting, right? The religious work will give so much, but you have to teach this thing. So that's the bait that they're giving. But what's the intention? They want to catch you in that bait. Put that hook, catch you. And the way they catch you after that, you can't get out of it after that. Once you're trapped, finished. Can't get out of it. See that? وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُورُوا سَوَانَ. That you and them will be both identical, same. He's kafir, he's kafir. So, that man is, in the open he's dancing, womanizing, right? Open. So people are mocking him. So, the other way to get over it is, make it a culture, like, you know, you just must dance. Man, woman, right? So now will anybody mock anybody? Why? Because you can. So it's few individuals that like this LG, all that, right? A few people. But now they don't want to be singled out. When they don't want to be singled out, what they do it? They do make it a culture. But make it a culture now, will anybody run them down? In fact, it will be a crime, criminal offense now, to single them out. See that? So it's a taste of a few people, right? And that taste, they want it to be held in respect. Right? So they make it a law. When they make it a law now nobody can object. So that is why we say, I say, over the 25-30 ayahs in the Quran, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا أَدُوِي. They are all my enemies, don't take them as friends. لَا تَتَوَلَّوْ قَوْمًا خَدِيبَ اللَّهِ. Don't take these people on whom my wrath is descending. لَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Nur Islam said to his son, irkam mana, come with us. Come with the Muslims, their ways, their style, their culture. And don't go the kafir style ways, don't go there. You need to do business just to that point and over, finished. Right? It's just to the point of need. And then you don't have to be rude, you don't have to be impolite. But you're doing some business, just to the point of business, and then you part ways. But you came more thick then can you maintain the barrier? Because now, when there's a relationship, the relationship will require tolerance, what? To tolerate. Right? You're doing some haram, so you must just tolerate. Right? He's abusing Islam, so you must tolerate it. Because now you worry now, if I'm going to say anything, then it's going to sever the relationship. You've got a good understanding of the business, and whatever else. And I'm going to object now, it's going to sever the relationship. So it's the Quran says, cut it off from the root. By, in kudwasina marao. Don't get into a thick relationship with them. From a safe, I say in a different word, keep the relationship from a safe distance. So they can't shoot their poisonous ideas, culture into your heart. Put them like 1,000 kilometers away, 1,000 miles away. They should just drop. It doesn't affect you anyway. See? Allah Pak Tawfiq Nasib Kare.